That's right.
Well, again, it's just so good to see all of you guys here. Most of our folks, like I said, are in Kansas City at the One Thing Conference. They are doing live web streams, so if you haven't been able to check out any of the sessions for that conference, I encourage you to go online. All of the sessions that I've listened to have been just incredible. Alan Hood's session last night was, of course, amazing. So I encourage you, if you haven't checked those out, go on to ihopkc.org and look up the sessions that you've missed. Well, I am going to just be sharing a message with you guys, just sharing with you kind of a journey that the Lord has had me on recently. And so I decided, what better thing to share with you than something that He's teaching me. So I am going to just be talking with you about the journey to finding contentment, no matter what your circumstances. So just to start off, we need to ask, what is contentment? And before I do that, I am going to open in prayer. I think that might be a good thing for me to do. So we're just going to pause for a second and pray. Lord Jesus, we just come before you and ask that your presence would rest in this place, Holy Spirit. Pray, Lord, that you would speak through me and to me, God, that you would minister to us this evening through this message. Just come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. That's better. All right. Well, what is contentment? The dictionary defines contentment just as a feeling or showing satisfaction with one's possessions, one's status, or one's situation. It's really characterized by a feeling of rest or a feeling of peace. Contentment, as we're going to find out just from Scripture today, is not necessarily a fun time. You're not content or at rest because you're having a blast with where the Lord has you, but you're content because you're at peace knowing that you're in the middle of the Lord's will for this season. And that's contentment. I don't know about you, but I've certainly experienced a feeling of discontent. So what is discontentment? Well, obviously it's that dissatisfaction with your lot in life, being dissatisfied with where you are. If you're a malcontent person, then you are not satisfied with where you are, and you may actually be holding a grudge because you don't have what you want. And sometimes we can be holding a grudge against God because we're not where we wanted to be. We don't have what we wanted. There are lots of possible areas of discontentment. One of them is certainly money. You might be discontent because you don't have enough money, or you don't have the money that you want to buy the things you want. Maybe you don't have, your retirement account isn't what you want it to be, or you don't have money for savings. You might be discontent because of your material possessions. Maybe you don't have a car, you don't have a car that works, you want a nicer car. You're not pleased with your house or your living situation. Maybe you're discontent about your marital status. Maybe you're single and you don't want to be that way. Or maybe you're married and it wasn't what you thought it was cracked up to be. So you might be discontent in that area. Children is another area of discontent you might have. Maybe you're desiring children and you don't have them yet. Or again, this having children thing isn't what you thought it would be. It's not working out the way you thought it would be. That's another area of discontent. Maybe you're discontent about your job. You'd like a promotion. You're not pleased with your job. And it's something that you're not at peace about. The list could go on and on. Just areas where you don't have peace and you don't have rest. What I'd like us, though, to take away today is that contentment can be learned. The Lord gives us plenty of opportunities in this classroom called life where we can learn to be content in all circumstances. The Lord gives us strength to be content through His power, through His promises, and through prayer. So that's what I hope we learn today. Before we look at what the Scripture says about the secret of being content, I want us just to look at things that can cause discontent. I did talk a little bit about the areas of discontent, but what can the causes of discontent be? The first one, and the really big one, is sin. When we're walking outside of the will of God, when we're not obedient to Him, we're not where the Lord desires us to be. We won't find satisfaction and rest when we're not walking in obedience to the Lord. There are plenty of areas of sin, but like I said, we won't find that satisfaction and that rest and that peace when we are walking in disobedience to the Lord. And it's really a grace of the Lord that we are discontent when we're living, when we are sinning, because that discontent, that unrest, that unease is what draws us back to the Lord. We won't find satisfaction in those earthly pleasures. The Lord is the one who brings us satisfaction. He's the one that fulfills our longing. And so when we are not walking in obedience to the Lord, we will be dissatisfied and we will not be content. But the Lord is so gracious, and that is really an easily remedied thing. When we recognize that we are discontent because we are in sin, then all we need to do is confess and repent to the Lord. And He is so gracious to forgive our sins and to just shower us with His righteousness. And a lot of times, even when we confess our sin and we repent, there's still that habit. There's that habit of sin that we need to work out in order to walk in obedience. And that's one thing that's great about Forerunner Fellowship is that we are a small group-based church. And so we have our small group leaders who can help you, can help us just figure out how to walk in obedience, even in those areas that have been habitual sins before, those areas that have really caused us to stumble before. Our small group leaders are here to help us walk that out. So sin, again, is one big area that can cause one big thing that can cause discontent. Another thing that I was thinking about is living in the past. When we try living in the past, that's when we find discontent. A lot of times, there might be things in our past that cause us shame or that we have regret for things that we've done in the past. Again, those sins that we've committed in the past can really just cause us to have that unrest and that dis-ease about us. And so when we continue living in the past and thinking about the past and thinking about our past sins, that really steals our peace and it steals our contentment. Pastor Brad last week mentioned a book called The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. And when he mentioned that book, it was a favorite of mine in college, so I decided this week just to go back and reread it. And this book is about a family, Corrie Ten Boom and her, she was in her 50s, and her older sister and then her elderly father lived in Holland during World War II, and they ran an underground, she was actually an underground ringleader for hiding and helping the Jews in Holland. And so she and her sister, Betsy, and her father were all arrested because their ring was found out, and her elderly father died shortly after being taken to prison. And then she and her sister Betsy were taken to a German concentration camp. And as I was reading, it was just after her sister Betsy died in the concentration camp. She had been terribly ill and had finally died in the concentration camp. Very shortly after that, Corrie was told that she would be released from the concentration camp. And so she had to go through a physical. She had to be healthy in order to be released, because they didn't release unhealthy prisoners. They wanted to, you know, just that picture of health. They wanted everyone to think everything was okay at the concentration camps. So Corrie had to go through a physical. And she was really struggling with the what ifs. And this really struck me, so I'm going to read you a quote from The Hiding Place. She said, "And what if Betsy were still alive? Surely our prison term would have been up together, but Betsy would never, never have passed the physical. What if she were here with me? What if I were to pass the inspection and she? There are no ifs in God's kingdom." I could hear her soft voice saying it. "His timing is perfect. His will is our hiding place. Lord Jesus, keep me in your will. Don't let me go mad by poking about outside it." And truly, Corey, through the voice of her sister, the Lord spoke through the voice of her sister, learned that there are no what ifs in our past. Contentment is found in the presence, in the present. It's actually found in his presence. God's timing is perfect. Like she said, his will is our hiding place. And so it's so important. She said, don't go mad by poking about outside it. Don't go mad by poking in your past and thinking, what if this hadn't happened? What if I hadn't done such and such? What if? There are no what ifs in God's kingdom. We can't live in the past. That steals our contentment. We have to live in the present. Another thief of contentment is living in the future. And I've done this for off and on for years and years, and I don't know if it's unique to single women or if everyone experiences it, but just living in the future, living in that longing, just thinking about, okay, well, I want to be married, so I can't buy a house because I want to be married, or I can't go do this because, you know, if I meet my husband, then blah, blah, blah. It's just that living in the future, not allowing myself to live in the present, and I've definitely struggled with this for years and years, and the Lord, again, tells us to live in the present. And these longings and desires that we have are often not bad. The Bible tells us in Psalm 37:4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. There are longings that the Lord has placed in your heart. And so it's not bad to have those desires and those longings, but it's when those desires and those longings consume us, that's when our contentment is stolen. When we focus on that desire rather than delighting ourselves in the Lord, that's what steals our contentment. And a lot of times we need to recognize that the longings that the Lord, the longings that we have in our hearts were placed there by the Lord. And those longings are actually longings that he wants to fulfill in himself. Mike Bickle wrote a book called The Seven Longings of the Human Heart. And he just talks about how people spend a lot of time either trying to deny their desires and their longings, or trying to fulfill those longings in things, in earthly things. But really, he says, imagine the time and energy we would save if we acknowledged these longings as inescapable God-given desires, and then positioned our hearts to allow them to be answered and satisfied in the way God intended. And so those longings that we have, we need to allow God in the present to fulfill those longings of our hearts in himself. And I just encourage you to think that, to allow the Lord just to speak to you and ask yourself, perhaps those longings, if you have those longings for the future, those desires that that are just consuming you, ask the Lord if perhaps those longings are actually longings that the Lord intends to fulfill himself, to fulfill in you through him. So some things that still contentment, we talked about sin, living in the past, living in the present, and then the last one that I want to talk about, and certainly this is not an exhaustive list, but the last one is worry. And really this wraps right back to the first one we talked about, sin. Because really, worry and anxiety are sin. Scripture tells us, do not be anxious about anything. So when we're worrying, when we're filled with anxiety, we're sinning. And Really, when we have worry and anxiety, really what we're saying is, God, I don't trust you. If we're walking in the will of the Lord, if we're walking in obedience to God, then we are where he wants us to be. And when we're not content with our situation, we're telling him that we don't trust his plan. Scripture tells us that the Lord is our helper. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. He has our best in mind, so he's trustworthy. But it is important for us to remember and realize that sometimes what his best is not always what we would have planned for ourselves. This has come up several times over the last few weeks for me. Just the idea that God is more interested in my growth and maturity than in my comfort. If we lack something that we desire, if we don't have something that we desire, it's not because God isn't able to fulfill that desire or because God isn't willing to fulfill that desire. It's because it might not be beneficial for us at the moment. Scripture tells us in Psalm 84:11 that God is not going to withhold any good thing to those from those who do what is right. However, again, it's just important for us to remember his definition of good and our definition of good are often not the same thing. Sometimes his definition of good is, what situation will cause my beloved to lean on me? What situation will cause my beloved to learn about my goodness, to become stronger in me, to grow in faith and love, to become more like my son, Christ? So his definition of good, he's not going to withhold any good thing from us, but his definition of good and our definition of good is sometimes different. Regarding worry, also, we need to remember that God gives us sufficient grace to help us for today. In Matthew 6:34, Jesus says, "Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worry on its own. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So Jesus is just saying that we don't need to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. God will give us grace for today. Again, it's just that living in the present, being where God has you today, not worrying about the past, not worrying about the future. Jesus is going to give you grace for today. So it's in the present where we find contentment, where we're walking in the center of his will. We're not living in the past in regret, in shame, in the what ifs, even in the glory days. Maybe, and we're going to talk about this here in a few minutes, but maybe you had a season in the past that was wonderful, and you're not in that season anymore. Still, don't live in the past. Don't think about how wonderful that was. Live today. Ask the Lord what he has for you today, what he wants to teach you. Again, just don't live in the future. Live for those longings. We need to live in the present and allow ourselves to be deeply satisfied in the passion of the Lord. So those were just some things that steal contentment, that cause us to be discontent. So now we're going to just hit some scripture. So get your Bibles out if you have them. If you don't, that's all right. We'll have the scripture verses up on the overhead as well. We're going to talk about the secret of being content. And Paul tells us that he has found out the secret of being content. I love secrets, finding out secrets, so this is exciting. The first secret of being content, I'd like you to turn and to Proverbs 19, verse 23. We're going to find the first secret to being content. We will find that when we're walking in the will of the Lord through obedience, contentment is ours for the taking. So Proverbs 19, 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. So we are told right here in Proverbs what gives us contentment. The fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is simply reverence and obedience to God. When you fear the Lord, that means you know him. You know who he is. You recognize his worth, his majesty, his splendor. You actually have, and this is what reverence means, you have profound, adoring, awed respect for God. You have profound, adoring, awed respect for the God of the universe. You recognize him as your maker, as the lover of your soul. You've experienced the love of Christ, and so you love him in return. When you know him, when you're loved by him, when you love him in return, then you're obedient to him. That's part of the fear of the Lord, is obedience. You're obedient to his word, to his will. That's what the fear of the Lord is. And we talked about this with what steals contentment is sin. Obedience is essential to being content. Scripture tells us that when you have reverence and obedience to God, you can rest content. You have life and you can be satisfied. All right, we're going to move on to our next point. So the first one, the first secret to being content is living in the fear of the Lord. Next, we have rely on Christ's strength. So we're going to turn to Philippians 4, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time in Philippians 4. This time we're going to start out in Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13. So I'll give you a second to turn there with me. These next couple of scriptures that we're going to look at focus on the relationship really between contentment and provision. And this is where Paul tells us that he has figured out the secret to being content. Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13 says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So in this scripture, Paul is addressing the Philippians who have sent him gifts while he's in prison. And he assures the Philippians here that he wasn't in need before their gifts arrived because he's learned to be content. And we can really find a few things about contentment in this scripture. First of all, contentment is independent of external circumstances. Paul says that he's learned to be content when he has plenty, and he's learned to be content when he's in need. So his contentment doesn't come from his circumstances or situations. So just application to yourself, whether you have what you desire or you're lacking, you can still be content. And the next point is a really great one for me, because Paul shows us that contentment can be learned. It's not something that either someone, it's a gift that someone has or they don't. Contentment can be learned. Paul tells us that he's learned the secret of being content. That means it's not automatic. He had to go through times of plenty, and he had to go through times of want in order to learn this secret. So in order to learn this, we can then tell that we have to go through times when we have plenty, and we have to go through times when we have want. It's really, again, just the grace of the Lord that we go through these seasons, these ebbs and flows, so that we learn to be content and we learn to lean on the Lord. Paul also tells us that it's not of himself that he's learned to be content. The secret to being content in every situation is really that Christ provides the strength. Hallelujah. The means of contentment is the strength of Christ. He says, Paul says in verse 11, he says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Verse 13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I don't know about you, but I've heard that verse so many times that, you know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I thought about it just in isolation. But really, this has to do with contentment. Whether I have everything that my heart desires or whether I have nothing, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can be content because Christ gives me strength. And that's so encouraging. It's not of myself to be content. And finally, it's available, just from the scripture, it's available in any and every situation. Though Paul was addressing specifically provision and the gifts that the Philippians provided him, he said the secret to being content in any and every situation is the strength of the Lord. And when he says any and every situation, I'm really taking that to heart. So whether that any and every situation would be finances or marital status or job or career or school or home or family, I can be content through the strength of the Lord in any and all situations. So ultimately, no matter the situation or the circumstance, when you abide in the Lord, when you obey his word and seek him first, he's going to give you strength. Whether you have more than enough provision or whether your family and friends are surrounding you, whether you have everything that you desire, he's going to give you strength to lean on him even in those situations. And a lot of times when we have plenty, we're not leaning on the Lord and we're not depending on him because we're living in comfort. But Paul tells us that we need to lean on the Lord even in those situations, and it takes the strength of the Lord. Also, when you're lacking finances, whether you're single and childless or whether you're in need, he will give you the strength to lean and trust in him. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So that's the second key to contentment. The first one was living in the fear of the Lord. Second, rely on Christ's strength. And the third one, we need to believe in the promises of God. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, that's where we're turning next. This is another New Testament scripture that's addressing provision, and this one is addressing money in particular and how to find contentment. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?'" The author of Hebrews in these chapters is wrapping up this epistle with just some final exhortations. And he includes this encouragement to be content. And like Paul's exhortation in Philippians 4, we find that contentment doesn't come from external sources or circumstances. In fact, the author of Hebrews gives us a promise that we can rely on. And this is such a comforting promise for us. We are to be content because the Lord has promised that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. That's very comforting to me, no matter what our situations. As I was preparing for this, I was just thinking, especially as this one relates to money and finances, with the fiscal cliff that's looming for our nation, it's encouraging to know that even if we as a nation fall off a fiscal cliff, the Lord has promised that he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He is our helper, and we have nothing to be afraid of. Now, as Paul taught us in the last section, it doesn't mean that we're going to be rich. It doesn't mean that even in these times that we're going to maintain our present status, our present financial, our current standard of living. But Paul told us that whether we live in plenty or in want, we can learn to be content. We have to allow the Lord to give us strength, and we must rely on the promise that the Lord will never forsake us. We have nothing to fear because our Lord is our helper. And the final point, or the final secret or key to being content is, again, found in Philippians 4, so you can turn back there. And it's just pray and rejoice. And this section of scripture is actually just the portion that's right before where Paul told us the secret to being content. We're going to start in verse 4, so Philippians 4, verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So just like we talked about earlier, we need to rejoice in our present circumstances. It's where you are. It's where the Lord has you. You might as well rejoice in it. Thank him for this learning opportunity. If you can't find anything else to be thankful about today, just thank him for the learning opportunity that he has for you. And if you don't know what that learning opportunity is, then just throw in a prayer and ask him to tell you what you need to learn from the present circumstance or situation. So after we rejoice in our circumstances, we're told, Paul tells us that it's okay to present your requests to God. We are a praying church, and so we know this. Pray. It's okay to ask the Lord to change your circumstances. It's okay to ask him to fulfill those longings that you have. He wants us to present our requests to him. It's okay to have those longings and desires in our heart. But again, like we talked about before, it's not okay for those longings to consume us, for our hearts to be pulled away. We know that persistent, we are called to persistent prayer. Just like the persistent widow, we know that the Lord calls us when we have those desires, when we know what is on the Lord's heart, we are to persistently pray. But again, we need to stay in the present. We are not to be anxious about the things that we pray about. We need to remember that he has promised that he'll never forsake us. And once we present those requests to God, once we rejoice, once we present our requests to God with thanksgiving, we are not anxious, and the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. That's what contentment is, the peace of God guarding our hearts and minds. I think that that scripture just reminded me that also, as the peace of God guards our hearts and minds, we have a role to play in that as well with contentment. We need to guard our thoughts as well. We need to think about the things of the Lord rather than thinking about the things that we don't have, the things that we want, the things that could have been, what if, I want, I'm not happy. Rather than thinking about those things, we need to focus on the goodness of the Lord. We are to think about the things that are lovely and pure and praiseworthy and admirable. We are to think on the Lord and think on about his word. Think about the scripture and the promises of the Lord. We are to guard our hearts, and that's going to give us the peace and the contentment that we desire. So, what we've learned today about contentment. Just a few points that we've learned. The secret of contentment is, one, we need to live in the fear of the Lord, live in obedience to him, rely on Christ's strength, because he promises that it's only through his strength that we'll be able to be content. And he has promised that he's never going to leave us or forsake us. And we are called to pray and rejoice. And when we pray and rejoice, the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. I'd just like for us, we're going to close now, but I'd like for us just to think about, ask the Holy Spirit what he's saying to you about this area of contentment. We're just going to pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just come and speak to us right now. God, if there are areas of discontent that we're struggling with right now, would you highlight those to us? God, would you teach us in this situation where we are right now how to be content, how to rest and be satisfied in you? Lord, we ask that you would give us strength in our present circumstances. We declare right now, Lord, that we believe in your promises, that you will never leave us or forsake us. We lean upon your strength, Jesus. We thank you for your word, Jesus. We lay our burdens at your feet right now, and we ask, Jesus, that you would teach us to be content in you. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would fulfill the longings of our heart in you. Jesus, we love you. We desire to rest in you, to walk in obedience to you. Fill us with your strength, Holy Spirit. We rely on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, thank you everyone for coming. We just encourage you to visit as much as you'd like. We just ask that you would visit out in the lobby out there, because we have some things to take care of in the sanctuary. But again, thank you for coming. Have a great evening.